Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, she covered him with a mantle, and he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. It is written, and he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here? That thou shalt say, no. It is written, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. Blessed be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put forth her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens the mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling. Of its worth I will sing. Though great losses and crosses be mine, for I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing, divine. Gentlemen, listen to this message from Judges chapter 4 and 5, entitled, Sisera's Chariot. The bottom line of every trouble this world has ever known is the effort of the devil to destroy the work of God, his Christ, and his church. Today, in the physical sense, he wars against God, his Christ, and his church with atomic devices. Poisonous gases, biological warfare, and terrorist attacks. He does not attack America per se as a nation. He already has America in his hip pocket. A casual glance at our abortion laws, the drug traffic, drive-by shootings, the movies, the porn, sexual perversion, the wreckage he has made of marriage, and the home should be enough indication that the devil is in control of America. However, it is God's work that he wants to destroy, and it has always been that way. The first fight on this planet was over religion. Cain murdered Abel in an argument concerning the sacrificial shedding of the blood. Every enemy of God, his Christ, and his church has been a Cainite. While the devil may not have used our high-tech weapons in ages gone by, the weapons he used were just as effective. One such enemy was Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. His field marshal was Sisera, and he had the super weapon of that day, 900 chariots of iron. The chief executive officer in the nation of Israel after the days of Joshua was a succession of around 14 judges for a period of over 300 years. Only one of those 14 judges was a woman. Her name was Deborah, and she governed Israel at that time. Deborah directed Barak to go fight Sisera and his 900 chariots of iron. During the battle, God fought from heaven, and the stars in their courses fought against the 900 chariots of iron. The rain came, the rivers were swollen. Sisera's chariots were stuck in the mud, and he fled on foot. During his flight, he came to the tent of Heber, a former ally of Sisera's king, but now with Israel. Heber wasn't home, but his wife Jael was. She invited Sisera in and told him to relax. He was tired from all the running and fleeing he was doing, so he was thankful that she let him hide in her tent. So she put a mantle over him. He asked for a drink of water, and she gave him a bottle of milk and butter in a lordly dish. Now this was in the days before they delivered milk in cartons. I remember those days. The milk was not homogenized, and the cream rose to the top of the bottle. Sisera drank the whole bottle, cream and all, and told her to stand at the door of the tent. And if anybody came by and asked where he was, she was to say, "He went that-a-way." Jael did what he said. She stood at the door of the tent, and when she heard him start to snore, she took a nail of the tent in one hand and a hammer in the other. She crept in and kneeled down beside the form of the sleeping Sisera. She aimed carefully, and with one sure, deft stroke drove the nail through his head and pinned him to the floor. And that is not all she did. She also cut off his head. About this time, Barak came driving by, and Jael flagged him down. "Come in," she said. "I think there's someone here you would like to see." Barak came in, and sure enough, there was the head of Sisera with a nail stuck through the temple. The last verse of the chapter says, "That the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan." After the battle, Deborah composed a song of victory. One statement in that song is worthy of note at this time. I was not there, and so I do not know the melody, but I think it was the same tune as Battle Hymn of the Republic. Verse 28 pictures the mother of Sisera waiting for her son to return from the battle. Listen to this. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colors." The mother of Sisera was waiting for something that would never come. She was waiting for Sisera's chariot. Many are waiting for that chariot today. Sisera's chariot is the chariot that will never, never arrive. Now, there are several ways we might illustrate, but the bottom line is always the same. First, consider salvation apart from the blood of Christ is like waiting for Sisera's chariot. It has no hope of ever coming. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he told the apostles, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins." Paul in Hebrews states, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption." If Jesus was of normal size, there were about 8 quarts of blood in his body. When you consider the multiplied millions who have been washed in the blood, a number that no man can number, we can say that under the microscope of faith, every drop of the Savior's blood is multiplied and enlarged into an ocean of redemption. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that the power of sin is the law. The law has no power over the Christian because Paul says again in Colossians chapter 2, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he have taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Sisera was no longer a threat to the Lord's people because he lay dead in Jael's tent with a nail through his head. And ladies and gentlemen, the law can no longer condemn us because it also has a nail that was driven through it when Jesus died on the cross. Please note again that we are made alive with him when we are buried with him in baptism. There is one truth that is taught above all other truths in the Scripture, and that is the fact that a soul without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely and utterly without hope in this world. Paul encourages the Christian when he tells us in 1 Thessalonians, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that ye sorrow not as they that have no hope." According to the inspired Apostle Paul, the person who is not a Christian has no hope in this world of heaven. To expect salvation any other way than by obedience to Christ is to wait for something that has no promise of ever taking place. That person is waiting for Sisera's chariot. Something that will never, never arrive. Now, another way to consider the hopelessness of life without Christ regards the church, which Jesus said was his body. Waiting for salvation apart from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to wait for Sisera's chariot. Back in the 60s, some of the Jesus freaks had a sign that said, Jesus, yes. The church, no. Someone has said Jesus is all right, but they wish he would leave that leprous bride behind. It must be remembered that the church is the bride of Christ. In Acts the 2nd chapter, we are told that those who repented and were immersed for the remission of sins were added to the church. To separate oneself from the church is to separate oneself from Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5 informs us that he will present the church to himself a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. The church may seem to some of you that it is as ugly spots, full of wrinkles, and tied up in knots. But that is not the way the Lord looks at it. If you are looking for salvation apart from your loyalty to the church that Paul told the Ephesian elders was purchased by the blood of God, you are waiting for Sisera's chariot. Again, we note that the salvation of the rest of the world can only be accomplished by the preaching of the Great Commission. Jesus said to the apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." To expect the world to be saved apart from carrying out this program is to wait for Sisera's chariot. The job of the church is to preach the gospel. Some like to think at a ministry like the radio ministry and call it a para-ministry, as though it is something apart from the church. A more gross error could not be made. The job of the church is preaching the gospel and not something else. It is said that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Today, it is the church many times that fiddles around with games and entertainment, while much of the world is left in ignorance about the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many times we have been content to shoot off a few firecrackers when we should have been dropping the whole arsenal of God's atomic bombs. Too many times we have picked out a tune with one finger on the piano when we should have pulled out all the stops on the organ of God's grace. Too many times we have tried to feed a hungry world on soda crackers when we should be feeding them beefsteak. Verily, the whole cow, horns, hooves, and tail. Too long we have tried to quench the thirst of the world by using a medicine dropper when we should have been opening the floodgates of God's great river of grace. Salvation of the world without the carrying out of the Great Commission is waiting for Sisera's chariot. Something that will never happen. Again, the Bible is the only book with the message of salvation. Apart from the Bible, somebody is waiting for Sisera's chariot. In the second epistle of Peter, in the first chapter, the apostle says, "Seeing that his divine power hath granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us by his own glory." The Bible is a complete source book of what God wants us to do and expects us to do. It is the only authoritative book given to us from the Almighty. Many years ago, I read of a noted journalist who said that he never went to church services because no man could speak as often as a preacher does and have anything important to say. And you know I have to agree with that. None of the stand-up comics on television seem to be able to do it on their own. They all need ghost writers. Even if they appear only once in a while, they have to have a ghost writer to help them with their speeches. But a preacher speaks to the same audience week in and week out on the same subject, 3 and 4 times a week sometimes. How can he do it and have anything fresh and different to say? He can't do it unless he has a ghost writer. Holy Ghost. If the preacher uses the Word of God, his message is worth hearing over and over again and again because it is the message from the Lord Himself. The Bible is an inexhaustible source of the will of God for fallen man. And to expect to find salvation within the pages of any other book is an exercise in futility. You are waiting for Sisera's chariot. And also a person is waiting for Sisera's chariot apart from the repentant lifestyle of the Christian. Paul tells us in Hebrews 12, follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. That statement is enough to tell us that if you expect to go to heaven apart from the Christian life, you are waiting for Sisera's chariot. We have strong encouragement, however, in the Scripture. Jesus, in his farewell address to the apostles, said in John 16, these things I speak unto you, that ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Remember in the song of Deborah, she sang how they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Ladies and gentlemen, the stars in their courses are still fighting against the enemies of God. In the book of Job, we read, the angels are identified as the morning stars that sang together when God laid the foundations of the earth. In the book of Hebrews, it says that the angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation. So these stars in their courses are even now in our services coming to our aid. Sisera had 900 chariots of iron. He had the superpower at that time. The Canaanites were the superpower, but the superpower with the super weapons was no match against the one fighting against them from heaven. Consider also how Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able to bear, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Then in Timothy again, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. One time, in an effort to build the evening attendance, I had a deacon to dress up like the devil and get into the baptistry before services began. We drained the baptistry. The deacon hid there in the baptistry before services. And I told him that when I was making the announcements, he was to come up out of the hole and jab me with a pitchfork. Later on, I was told that one little girl went home crying, and she said, I'm not going to church over there anymore, because that's the place where they keep the devil locked up all the time. Some people have that idea about the Lord. The church is where we keep the Lord locked up all the time. We come on Sunday, sing a few songs, preach a sermon, say a closing prayer, and then say, goodbye, Lord. We'll see you again next week, if we can't think of anything better that we want to do. Someone has said, ye call me master and serve me not. Ye call me the light and see me not. Ye call me the way and walk me not. Ye call me wise and follow me not. Ye call me fair and love me not. Ye call me rich and ask me not. Ye call me eternal and seek me not. Ye call me gracious and trust me not. Ye call me noble and serve me not. Ye call me mighty and honor me not. Ye call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame. be not. To wait for salvation apart from a dedicated life in the Master's service is to wait for Sisera's chariot. Once more, we say, to wait for a cure-all from the modern-day social ills without the gospel is to wait for Sisera's chariot. The social ills of the world are many and obvious. Drugs, abortion, pornography, sexual perversion, to mention a few. The only answer to the ills of this world is Christ. Everything has been tried to no avail. One time I was walking down the crowded streets of a big city on a Saturday night. Thousands of people were on the street. As we came to the corner, we saw a man lying in the gutter. His body was molded around the curb. His head was in the grating. We stopped and picked him up and lifted him up, and he was as stiff as a board. We leaned him against a light pole like a plank. As we walked off down the street, I looked back and thought to myself, we did not help that poor fellow too much. I found a man in the gutter, and when I left him, he was up on the curb with me. And ladies and gentlemen, that's about as high as we can lift anybody with the social gospel. That's as high as the do-gooders can do. The only power that can lift a man from the gutter of this life to the golden sidewalks that will pave the streets of the New Jerusalem is the power of the death-conquering Christ. And to expect the world to change any other way is to wait for Sisera's chariot. Listen again to the warning. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Why is his chariot so long in coming? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.